Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be there shortly. Really appreciate everyone's presence. If you haven't been here in our afternoon service, we have actually been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be finishing that up today. I've really enjoyed this book because I don't know in reading it before if I've ever just studied it. I've always studied them together, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And so I never really understood perhaps the amount of encouragement that is shown right off the bat to this group of people, these Christians that lived some 2,000 years ago. And if you do have a chance to read it, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, one of the things they always speak about is their work of faith, their labor of love, their steadfastness of hope. And this congregation is lifted up over and over again. Paul, when he talked to them, he reminds them constantly of things he's already preached to them, and he brings it up in the context that you have already been doing this. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so proud of you. Congratulations, you're a great group of people. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, though, it's very interesting because as you come to the end of that chapter there, you might have the subtitle from verses 13 and following where it talks about those who died in Christ. And the Thessalonians, they did have a concern. They wanted to know what happened to our brethren, what happens to our brothers and sisters, what happens to our family when they die, you know, whether of natural causes or whether because of the persecution they're currently facing. They wanted to know that thing. And Paul goes through there and he talks about how they will be with Christ when Christ returns. And that was something they didn't necessarily know about before. But when we come to chapter 5, what we learn at is this idea of Christ's return. That is not something new. But that's one of those foundational things. That's one of those fundamental things that we should all know. And if you look at chapter 5, verse 1 with me, it says, "Now as to the time and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." So, 3 points of consideration for ourselves this morning, brethren. One, there is a fundamental nature to what we're talking about. It's foundational. It's the beginning. These are something that if you are going to be Christian, whether new or old, it's something we should all know. Secondly, that revolves around the sudden appearance, the sudden coming, like a thief, like a woman in labor, of Jesus Christ. When he comes again, it's not going to be like with a postcard that's going to come to your door, "Be ready for March 15th. You better be ready because here he comes. And finally, brethren, there's an idea that there is a fate for all of us. For those that are in Christ, it's a wonderful destiny. For those who are out, it's something else entirely. And so that's going to be our lesson for us today, the fundamental flash and fate. So let's talk about these basic or beginning principles. And again, that's verses 1 and 2 that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5. "Now as to the time and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." Now, brethren, if you look at chapter 4, he's just into this conversation about those who are dead, or those who are fallen asleep in Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 14 uses that terminology. And what we're dealing with there is brethren who have died, who are in Christ, and when it comes down to it, the Bible tells us they are waiting. But what exactly are they waiting for? Hebrews 9, verses 27 through 28 says, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. So for those who are sleeping, whether they're in Christ or outside of Christ, when we talk about the dead, what are they waiting for? They're waiting for Christ's return. Now, for the Christians, for those people who die in Christ, those who die in Jesus, this is something they look forward to with eagerness. And again, I brought this point up last week, but if you look at the book of Revelation, you look at Revelation chapter 5, when you think about the seals, when they're being opened, and you look at the people who are under the altars, again, the subtitle there might talk about the martyrs that are crying out, and they're crying out, Lord, how long? And he tells them, just a little bit longer. Understand that there are brethren who have gone before us that are waiting for this judgment to come. They are waiting for Christ's return. And when people die, what comes next according to Scripture? Judgment. So, for some of us, Lord willing, all of us, that is something we eagerly look forward to. Now, again, the interesting thing about this, when you look at the Thessalonians, remember, Paul only spoke to them for 3 weeks before was forced to leave. He did send Timothy back. That's how he knows about what's going on there. But when he's speaking to them, he tells them, this is something that you have no need to be written to you about. You yourselves know this full well. He already talked to them about this. This is one of those fundamental things, foundational things, beginning things, that if you're going to be in Christ, this is something we should all know, the time of Christ's coming. And again, he uses that word, time and epochs. That's from the New American Standard. That's the version I use. But it also talks about seasons in the English Standard, dates in the New International Version. The point is that when Christ returns, you have an opportunity to be ready for it. And guess what? He is coming back. Are you ready? And the question we have to ask ourselves, especially if we're Christians, is this a truth we live with every day? Is it something we know and think about every day, that every day at any moment Christ will return? Am I ready? Can we say that? Am I ready? Are you ready for Christ to come back right now? And we should be. Because when he comes back, it's going to be in a flash. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be quick. It says in chapter 5, verses 2 through 7, you know full well the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. So you got two vivid imagery there, or images there, excuse me. But you have the one of a thief that's going to come upon you, and a woman who's experiencing labor pains that come upon her suddenly. And if you think about the thief, you know, again, it's not like a thief has ever written you a letter and says, on April 15th, I'm going to come to your house and steal your money. Yeah, you got the reference, didn't you? So it's tax day, but, you know, some of us might look at that as like a thief, but never mind. That's a different story. But the point being is that we don't get an announcement. We don't know when it's going to happen. It will be sudden. And the day will come unannounced, and it's not going to be very long. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. This is something that Christians are supposed to be aware of. This is not supposed to be a secret. If you are a follower of Christ, I'll be honest with you, this is something we should all be comfortable with. Because this is something that Jesus talked about even before he left. When you look back at Luke chapter 21, verse 34, he's speaking to the disciples. He says, but watch yourselves, or your heart will be weighed down by dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life, and that day will spring upon you suddenly like a snare. You won't be ready for it. You will walk into a trap. It will hurt you. It will kill you. That's what he's telling his disciples, to be ready for this. We think about our Revelation study, Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know the hour when I will come upon you. Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who remains awake and clothed, so he will not go naked and not let his shame be exposed. It's going to come. And we know about it. And the trick is, we can't be complacent about it. And so as we go through these verses, last week on Wednesday night in our discipleship class, we got in discussion about how we are actually prepared. What do we have to do to be prepared? And we came up with a whole list of things. You know, studying your Bible, praying, talking to other Christians, being part of the household of faith. And there's a number of things you can do to be prepared. But in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, he really brings up two points. One, don't lie to yourself. And don't listen to people who are lying to you. And two, be alert and sober. Think about it. You know, you've got this passage here that while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. And so again, that could be both Christians and non-Christians, believers and non-believers that are walking around saying peace and safety. We just got done studying last year Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And in every last one of those books, men who were supposed to be believers in God, people who were priests, people who were prophets, were running around declaring to the people, everything's going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. You even at one point have someone that says that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be defeated. There's no way he's going to overcome Egypt. And obviously he was wrong. But he wasn't looking towards God. And we have to understand, if people are running around just crying peace and safety all the time, you don't have to worry about anything. Everything's going to be fine. That's not the way we're called to live. That doesn't mean we walk around with eggshells and you have to be miserable in this life. That's not what I'm saying. But it means we do have to approach this life with the recognition that we have very little time here and that we do not know when it's going to end. That's what we have when we look at James 4:14. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And if any of you ever seen a teapot where you get the little vapor that comes up off the top of it, you know what that's like. It goes up and it just disappears. It goes away in some way, shape, or form. And many of you have heard me tell you the story about when I used to run in the morning and I lived in Dayton. And there's an Inglewood Reserve there. It's got water on either sides of this dam. And as you go there in the morning, especially in the summer, it's amazing because all the little fog or haze or mist or vapor, it's all there. And in 10 minutes, something that's covering like 10 or 20 acres, it just is all gone. In 5-6 minutes, when the sun hits it, it just disappears like that. And I never really thought about the verse in that context. But you have very little time. We all have very little time. And we have to understand that as we approach this life. The time that we have been given, we are supposed to spend it in a certain attitude, in a certain way. Philippians 2, verse 12, then, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a recognition that the believers in God, they're saved. They have a salvation that has been handed to them. But now what do you do with it? How do you live with it? What kind of respect do you show towards it? And as we live this life, we are called to live with the idea of fear and trembling, to have respect, to have reverence, to have the awe towards God that we are supposed to have, to realize that what we have been given is something that is very precious, and that while we are here, we are supposed to work, and that while we are here, we have to be careful how we approach this life. We don't know how long it's going to be. But again, this is the amazing and wonderful thing. If you are a believer, you know this. This is in your heart. This is from the very beginning. We talk about being baptized into Christ, partaking of his death, his burial, his resurrection, rising to walk in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Well, then you're faithful unto death, so you can receive the crown of life, Revelation 2 verse 10. But what comes at that? we also have the understanding that Christ will return. Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. We have to be ready for his return. And we do that because he tells us he's coming back. You, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. This is not hidden from us. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. We're awake. We're aware. We know this is coming. And brethren, this is a benefit to us. Because we're awake, because we're aware, we know that the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8, that is coming soon. And for us, it's a great and wonderful thing. Read verses 8 through 11 with me. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. This is something they're already doing. They're encouraging one another, lifting each other up. And Paul's just reminding them that, hey, you're going through stress. You are facing trials. You are going through terrible times in your lives. But there is something that is coming for you. Whether you are alive, whether you are dead, you can have faith and security in Christ. And the picture he's painting there, when you think about it, you know, we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and you talk about the full armor of God. Obviously, the different pieces that are lifted here are slightly different. You know, we have the breastplate that is given to us that is, of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. So but the point is that we're still in a fight. The point is that you're going to face those trials, you're going to face those stressors, you're going to face some form of conflict. People, Satan, is going to be trying to kill you. But God has provided you what is necessary to protect yourself. God has given you the ability to succeed. That's what we have to realize. God has not destined us for wrath. God has not destined us to have that outpouring of anger come upon us. He's not destined us to go to hell. That is a place that is reserved for Satan, for those who are disobedient. What he's destined for us is for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Do we understand that? That's the confidence that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had. When they write this to the Thessalonians, they understood that my destiny, my fate, is not to go to hell. The Thessalonians, 2,000 years ago, were able to look at this letter. They were able to understand that my destiny is not to go to hell. Every last one of us here that have put on the name of Christ, that have been buried with him in baptism, and partaken of the death, the burial, the resurrection, that are walking in that new life right now, we are not going to hell. That is what's been given to us. That is what's laid out in front of us if we're willing to partake of it. We will live together with him. God's own words. And Lord willing, everyone here has partaken of that. The question then is, how do we apply that? How do we take all this knowledge and put it together? Well, the first thing I would encourage us to do is to actually ground ourselves in that knowledge. Again, if you're a believer in Christ, this is something that you and I, we should know this. It shouldn't be something that's unfamiliar to us. This is something that we know forward and backwards. We understand Jesus is coming soon. Number one, no one knows when the judgment's going to come. if someone tells you that it's going to come on this specific date at this specific time, you know, 88 reasons why it's going to occur in 1988, they're wrong. They're either misled or they're lying to you. And they might be lying to themselves. Just understand that. But number two, we do know judgment is coming. And no one knows the day or the time. But when it does come, every single person will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Not part of the people, not some of the people, every single person will be changed. Everyone will bow before Jesus Christ. And we'll get into that when we get into 2 Thessalonians. Secondly, as we move, there's my verse that goes with that. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So we should definitely have that knowledge. Secondly, we need to be prepared. And again, this is kind of like the Boy Scout time, you know. We have to be ready for everything that's going to come up. Be alert, be sober, don't lie to ourselves. Now, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 there, it does talk a lot about, you know, he has this great congregation, they're doing everything right, and even though they're doing everything right, he tells them to excel still more in your sanctification, excel still more in your love for one another, excel still more in living a peaceful life. When we come to the end of this letter, we're going to talk about this afternoon in chapter 5, he describes that peaceful life. He tells them exactly how you need to do, what you need to do to have a life of peace here on earth. And again, that's this afternoon, we're going to talk about that. But we have to realize that even if we're doing things right, there's a call and understanding for us to excel still more, to keep growing, to be prepared, to be ready for Jesus to return. This isn't a one-time thing, but instead it's something that we're constantly ready for. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you, Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, that you excel still more." And again, please, just hold fast to that verse. You know, a good verse also is 2 Peter chapter 1 that also brings out that same point. It's something we're supposed to know. Finally, we do need to know our fate. And I appreciate Robert reading this for us. This comes from 2 Corinthians 6 verses 1 and 2. "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the time of favor. Now is the day of salvation." And so that's really simple. Christians, my brothers and sisters in Christ, do we have that kind of confidence? I was looking at Hebrews 4 before I got up here, and I was thinking about that message, about approaching the throne of grace with confidence, having that ability that when we come to Jesus, we can come to him with confidence, with assurance, knowing that he is there for us. Do we have that type of confidence? And Christians, if we don't, that's an issue. We should know that if Jesus comes today, we will be with him. That's the confidence Paul was trying to give the Thessalonians. It's a confidence that he, Silas, and Timothy had. And if we don't have it, then why do we not have it? If you have something in your life that is keeping you from heaven, in a moment, our brother William selected Jesus Saves for us, and we're going to sing that song. You should have that confidence. You should know that today is the day of salvation, and you are a partaker of it. You are not separate. You are not apart from it. And friends, if you are visiting with us, if you are here and you're not a Christian, the song we're about to sing, Jesus Saves. I want you to think about that first part there. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The problem is, if you're not a Christian, when the trumpet sounds, that is not a joyful sound. That is a sound of judgment coming. And that is not where we want you to be. If you don't understand this, if you have questions about it, I'd love to study it with you. But if you do understand this and you do know this, then understand you have the opportunity today to be saved, to partake again of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus that comes directly from Romans chapter 6, to be baptized into him so you can arise to walk the newness of life, to live faithful unto death, to have the confidence and assurity that when death comes, death has no power over you, death has no sting. And that has been offered to you to partake of today. Brethren, whether you need prayers or friends, if you need to be baptized into Christ, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing this song.